Hi everyone, thanks for joining today's Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we're going to be talking about Windows 10 and how this is a great platform for education. With me today is Renee Moodley, who works for Microsoft, advising educational institutions on device choices. Renee, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Thanks, Megan. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. So yes, I'm Renee. I'm the Education Device Solutions Specialist at Microsoft. And what I do is go to institutions, small and large, and advising them on in terms of the technology choice, and also assisting them in terms of how they should be rolling out these technology platforms. So I've got the best job in the world, mind you, because I get to handhold all of these new type of innovation and devices that's intended specifically for the education sector in this market.
Well, thanks for joining us, Renee. I'm sure lots of teachers and schools that are having to make decisions about technology will really appreciate what you've got to say. There are lots of choices out there, lots of devices, lots of platforms. Why would you say a school or a teacher should go with a Windows 10 device?
No, thanks. It's a very important question, I see it. As you know, the world of today is there's a lot of Windows devices out there, from ATMs to sensors to the Internet of Things to large screen displays. When you walk into a shopping center, most of these devices are running on the Windows operating system. But in terms of education, it's a very specific requirement in terms of how they will fundamentally use this and how would the students start embracing these type of technologies and taking it forward into the working careers. So the way that Windows has been built for education is that, and especially Windows 10, is that we've been adding functionalities and feature sets onto this platform that allows for educators to being able to use a platform of choice, as well as the students being able to naturally adapt it by means of touch and being able to use the inking experience at the end of the day.
So there certainly are lots of factors to consider. And as you were saying, there are lots of Windows devices out there. In the world of work, that's most likely going to be the type of device that a child who's in school today ends up using in the workplace tomorrow, or it's most likely the type of device they're going to be using at university. So getting familiar with a Windows device and the Windows platform is really a great way to start off, because you can grow with the platform.
No, that's 100% correct. And the thing is that the way that education has been segmented is that you have your primary and high school as well as your tertiary institutions. But there's a different device requirement for different needs. You don't expect a child who is going to primary school to carry a 15.6-inch and weighing 3 kg type of device. You want to make sure that they have a form factor that fits their experience. And the world of Windows and Windows 10 is that Windows is consistent across your device and it adapts to the device size and requirements as well. So if you were to look at a primary school, what you'll be looking at is like a tablet 2-in-1 type of device. You would have a minimum for 10.1-inch screen size for them to use. And you'll be more consuming type of information in that period. And the keyboard is there to support your productivity requirements.
Yeah. So I think that idea of a 2-in-1 device is a really good one. I know lots of preschools and sort of junior primary age learners have access to tablets.
Yes.
And those are great for consumption and looking at apps and playing games. But as children get a little bit older and actually start having to sort of type assignments or put together presentations, sometimes a tablet device is really not a great choice. There's the on-screen keyboard, which is fine for typing one or two words, but it's not great for typing a long essay.
Yeah, I mean, look how we use it in our business ways. If you want to send a short email, it's easy enough to type out on a on-screen keyboard.
Or to do it on your phone.
To do it on your phone is even more than sufficient. But in the world of when we're writing out essays and theses and so forth, we want to make sure that we have the full productivity usage, right? We want to make sure that the platform allows you to be fully productive. Hence the screen size being so important, as well as the keyboard and mouse. In today's day and age, I mean, we like to make sure that we have multiple points of input, from speech to text to keyboard and mouse to inking to even touch. I mean, touch is a very natural type of usage in today's day and age. I've got a 11-month-old baby, and the first thing she do is just touch on a device. And that's natural instincts, and we want to make sure that, yes, touch is there, and it will be able to support your navigation through the device, but we want to make sure that the keyboard and mouse is still available for that device in order to type out these productivity type of requirements.
And what's really nice about the Windows platform is the thing that you get used to stays the same. So if you're used to the tiles and navigating in a certain way, as the form factor maybe changes, you don't have to get used to a new way of doing things or a new operating system.
And that's quite key, is that we bring you this consistent experience, because if I'm working on a small device or a large device, that experience is consistent at the end of the day. We don't want that experience of, oh, how do I use it on a tablet versus how do I use it on a laptop? It's not that type of
experience
we want.
Is the same.
We want to make sure that if they're using this certain application on this screen size and using it on this larger screen size, that experience is consistent.
For sure. So thinking about a school, in addition to the tablets or the laptops or the desktops, there are also all sorts of other peripherals that students or teachers end up using. Data projectors, wireless mouses, even sort of digital microscopes. How is the Windows 10 platform well suited to plugging in all of these different devices?
Sure. So what we have done at Microsoft is that when we started the initial build of Windows from Windows 95 and prior, is that we've been building a database of driver sets. So it allows for a natural plug and play of devices. Think of a mouse and a keyboard. If I had to plug it onto a Windows-based device, it naturally works. When we are adding a printer to the device, you plug it in and the driver's over there and it's ready to print immediately. The platform is catered that allows for multiple devices to be plugged in at the same time and have that consistent experience. You don't want to reinvest in terms of buying this new printer because the platform does not support it.
For sure.
And Windows brings that experience that if I've got a VGA dongle that I need to plug in, I naturally plug it in and it automatically projects it.
So if a school's already spent money on printers and data projectors that are still working perfectly, they'll still work with the Windows 10 platform.
Correct.
I'm also thinking about a bring your own device type of school. If students come with a range of different devices, working on a range of different platforms, it can be quite frustrating for the teacher when, this works on, this child's device, but then this child can't use the microscope on their device.
Correct. And that's the thing, is that the teachers have a duty in order to teach, and they don't want to be spending the time in terms of being troubleshooting.
Yes.
Right? And that's where Windows comes in, is that we will want to make sure that they have a consistent experience, number one, in terms of being able to support the environment. It's a unified experience. We don't want to drive this is this platform, that's platform, and so forth. And when you are driving a bring your own device strategy, is that you make sure that you put down specifications that actually meets your infrastructure requirements, from Wi-Fi capabilities to in terms of the solutions that you use for productivity and making sure that it naturally works. So you do not want to driving that experience that it's inconsistent. So you don't want to say you can go out and buy whatever device. You want to make sure that it fits into your infrastructure requirements.
For sure. And so that each child, no matter which device they've arrived at school at, has access to all of the other equipment at the school, so that no child is sort of disadvantaged because 100%. They can't use the data projector or the microscope.
Correct.
So a feature of Windows 10 that I'm really excited about and that I think would be phenomenal for schools is digital inking. How does that work?
So think about how you use a pen and paper. So when you go for your meetings, you carry a book and a pen. So imagine carrying one piece of device and being able to capture notes directly onto this device. In the school world, I remember when I was in school, my maths teacher always gave me the question of work out the equation. And it was very simple. If I got the answer 100% correct, and the equations were wrong, I got demarked.
Yes.
And the thinking with ink allows for the pedagogy approach. So when I'm writing down notes, I'm able to actually think or remember and keep that memory in my mind of being able to jotting it down. So the same if for a teacher as well. Imagine she's got a classroom of 30 students and she has 30 assignments that she needs to mark. Now, does she want to carry 30 assignments home and mark it? No, she can carry a tablet with a stylus and being able to directly make notes on this device or on the question paper itself instead of multiple papers passed back and forth.
Yeah, and if the teacher really wants to, she can make her pen color red.
Yes,
if she still wants to be able to mark. Correct. With a red pen.
Or smiley faces.
Yes, no, exactly. But I like your idea of thinking with ink. Yeah. Because in the maths example that you were giving, often the process of arriving at the answer is
Correct.
Actually more important than Correct. The answer itself. And for a subject like maths, where there, you know, often graphs or those, you know, fiddly little symbols, they're quite tricky to have to type an answer. You know, if you've got to sort of draw a square root sign, it's very quick with a pen, but to figure out how to find that symbol or whatever can take some time. And we really want the students to be focusing on solving the maths Correct. Problem rather than trying to find the right symbol. And in many cases, in fact, most cases, when they get to their final exams, they're still going to be writing on a piece of paper with a pen. So it still uses that.
Correct. And you're right about that. The thing is that when you are writing, you're actually absorbing that information, right? Over and above that, you don't want to have multiple type of inputs or a limited in terms of inputs. So I've got a keyboard and mouse, relevant. I've got touch, that's fine. But inking also supports this cohesive experience of being able to use a keyboard and mouse, being able to write down notes directly on my device as well as touching it. So it brings us all this whole solution together at the end of the day.
So tell me a bit more about being able to annotate web websites. How does that work?
So on Windows 10, we have a new browser called Microsoft Edge, which allows you to directly draw on the website. So think of an assignment like volcanoes, and you want to highlight specific information on a website. But instead of you going and capturing it and editing it and so forth, you can do it directly on the website. So I'll open up a browser. I'll go to, as an example, Wikipedia. I'll search volcanoes, and I'll be able to circulate certain information on the website and share it with the team. So they don't only get that piece of information, they get the full the full article and the important information on that article itself.
Sure. You know, that really is a 21st century skill that students should be practicing.
Correct.
There's a wealth of information out there. It's about how you interact with it. How Correct. Do you highlight the key information? Are you able to read a website and say, you know, I have a question about this, or, you know, this is sort of something I'd like to explore a bit more? And to make that thinking visible by being able to annotate also helps that thinking in ink process.
Correct. That's 100% correct.
So, Renee, these are some really exciting developments. But lots of these experiences are also available on other platforms, perhaps using some of the Microsoft Office apps.
Okay.
So how much of this are you able to do on any device with the Office apps, and how much of it requires the Windows 10 platform?
Sure, that's a good question as well. So yes, as you know, Office 365 is available across platforms. So you can get it on your iOS or you can get it on the Android platform. With saying that, what we have done in terms of Windows 10 is that we've been able to build an experience that's very familiar to the organizations. So as you would work on Word, Excel, PowerPoint on a Windows device, you'll still be able to work on a very similar manner in terms of other platforms. So what does Windows bring to this? It's the multiple support point of view. So I can have multiple screens or different windows open up at the same time. I can open up Word, Excel, PowerPoint on that same device, and I'll be able to copy and paste information as I need and want to do so. And I'll be able to open up multiple applications of that same productivity suite at the moment. So Windows 10, I mean, when we built this, we built in to have a native plug into Office 365. And you'll see that experience as you merge your lifestyles towards using the platform at the end of the day.
So anyone on any device can use those Office apps,
correct,
but the experience is really optimized on a Windows 10 device.
Correct.
But a student who maybe has access to a Windows 10 device in the computer lab at school, but perhaps has another type of tablet at home, would still be able to, through Office 365, access that assignment or that piece of homework again and could carry on.
100% correct.
Thanks, Renee. Let's think a bit about different learning styles and how Windows 10 sort of really accommodates that. Because that for me is one of the real powers of technology in the classroom.
Correct. So yes, and that's absolutely right. The thing is that, you know, there's different form factors of devices, from mobile devices to tablets to laptops and so forth. We want to make sure that the inputs support the way that we learn today. As you know, there's unfortunately special needs type of requirements. I'm hard of sight, and I'm not going to lie about that, where I need to make sure that my text fits on a bigger screen size and real estate. Hence, you see my beautiful big device here today. And that's it. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that there's inputs for mics, so from text to speech to text type of requirements, being able to have a keyboard that supports that experience, being able to take a pen and being able to write down information on that particular device. So in terms of learning styles, there's multiple ways of learning, right? So if I've got an article that I'm not able to read on a timely manner, I'll be able to copy and paste that text information into using Microsoft Classroom or OneNote, and being able to reread it to me, right? So I'll copy the text, I'll paste it on an application, and the application will read it out to me according to the pace that I require. So the ways that I read now, it does not have to take me 10 minutes, but I'll be able to shorten that experience because I'll be able to listen and then reread it out aloud.
So all of these assistive technologies, for a student that perhaps isn't visually impaired, but learns well through seeing images or seeing videos, they'd be able to access those. But for a student that actually is perhaps sort of deaf or blind, they would really be able to maximize those features you've talked about, to have the text read to them, or yes, to be able to magnify text so that they can see it better. And this also just assists the teacher, because some of that stuff, she doesn't have to create different resources,
correct,
for different sort of learning styles or different needs of the children in her class. They can, learn how to use the technology to get it in a form that works for themselves.
Correct. And that's 100% correct. Because the thing is of today is that I've got a reading problem. I'm not able to read in a timely manner as you would. So I would use these type of tools to support my reading skills. I mean, the narrator function that's built into Windows 10, it allows me to being able to access applications on a faster approach. And Windows 10 has this built in. So we've got an accessibility function built into Windows 10, which asks you a series of questions to being able to make the platform fit your lifestyle. So if you're hard of sight or you are not able to hear properly, you'll be able to use some of the functionalities on the tool itself to, as you said, enlarge the text or being able to read out aloud.
Well, those are really going to be a huge help to teachers and to students. Let's talk a bit about how Windows can help you be more productive, using things like Snap Assist or being able to sort of toggle between desktops. Those are some powerful features. Tell us a bit more.
Yes. So what we've done on Windows 10 is that we've asked the world in terms of what functionalities they would like to see on the product. And one of the key things is being able to multitask. As you know, in today's lifestyle, we work on multiple things at the same time. Think of a student. They work from biology session to science session and geography session, and they don't want to lose their place and so forth. So what we have done is we've introduced virtual desktops, which allows me to have a desktop experience to what I'm doing at that point in time. So if I'm doing research for biology, I'll be able to have a research page. I'll be able to have another session for geometry and so forth. And I'm able to have different applications opened up at the same time. So to navigate seamlessly across the different apps. Let's say I'm on the web, I'm researching some information. I'll be able to have that browser on the side, and I'll be able to copy or being able to annotate notes on this on a different application, and being able to bring in a PowerPoint application on the side. So it allows me to have a full quadrant view of the of different applications at the same time.
So like how on a real desk, you might have your homework diary over here, your maths textbook open there, your exam pad that you're actually doing the examples on here, and maybe your scientific calculator in between it all. You can do the same on your virtual desktop.
Correct.
and not have to only choose one thing at a time and have that full screen.
Correct. And that's right. You work in a world of doing multiple things at the same time, so the platform gives you the ability to work on multiple things at the same time as well.
I've got to tell you, the thing I was most excited about with Windows 10 was that the start button came back. That was something I really missed on Windows 8. And it's also exciting that Microsoft keeps sort of upgrading and updating and does seem to listen to customer feedback. Correct. To make the experience better and better. I don't think I was alone in missing the start button and was pleased to see it back.
Yeah, so what we have done with the platform is that we've introduced a adoption of listening to the world and seeing what they would like to see be included as Windows 10 evolves. And one of the feedback was basically to bring back the start button, the start menu, but also the personalization of the platform. As you know, I'm a very big fan of comic books. So I like Superman and Batman and so forth. And you might like different things. So I can personalize my experience according to what I like it. I'll be able to add live tiles. I'll be able to switch off live tiles. I'll be able to resize my experience according to how I like to look and feel. So the same goes for being able to customize Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No, you were saying you can really make it your own.
Correct.
And the things you use more often, you can make bigger, you can pin them to the start, the taskbar.
Correct.
To make your version of Windows 10 what works for you.
Correct. And that's right. And also about being able to participate in this program. So if you go onto Windows 10, the blog forum, you'll be able to voice your what you'd like to be seen included. And as we move forward with Windows 10 journey, we'll be making the announcement of the creators update, where we're designing the platform to allow you to be more creative, being able to draw in 3D, being able to print in 3D natively.
Well, that's an exciting development to look out for, especially because Windows often isn't seen as the platform that illustrators or designers or animators use. But maybe this is going to make that easier to do.
Correct.
So speaking of new updates and exciting new developments, you were telling me earlier there's a new way for schools to better manage their devices.
Yes.
What's that about?
Good. So that's a fun thing. So as you know, a lot of institutions have already invested in terms of hardware. So they're sitting with maybe Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 devices. So what we have done with Windows 10 is allowed for an in-place upgrade. So the ways of installing Windows has become more simplified. If I want to take a Windows 7 version with all of my applications and my data, I can do an in-place upgrade. So that means I don't have to reinstall my applications. I don't have to copy and backup and then restore my data. It's a simple in-place upgrade that takes my machine from Windows 7 to Windows 10.
I'm sure lots of IT managers are going to be thrilled to hear about that, because I think of how much work it is for just me with one device when I get a new device or you know, a new platform, it takes a long time. So at a school where there are, you know, 50 or more computers, that's a huge job.
Correct. And that's right. In terms of management of the device, that's also important. Because what we will be introducing into the to the market is something called Intune for Education, where if you are a IT manager within the school and you want a simplified management approach, this is going to be something that we recommend to you, where you're taking a device and you're being able to, or multiple devices, and have a seamless management experience. So if Megan logs onto that device or Renee logs onto that same device, I'll be able to reset it and clean it and being able to push applications and manage that experience end to end at the end of the day.
Sure, that does sound like a like some news worth looking out for. Renee, tell me about the safety of Windows. Would you recommend it to schools as being a really safe platform?
Yes, I mean, what we've done over the years is obviously make sure that our platform is secure as much as possible. So we have a built-in antivirus onto the onto Windows 10 that not a lot of people are aware of. But if they still prefer having their own antivirus software, they can still install it on Windows 10.
Okay.
What we've done as well is that if you are building applications for our store, it's we go through a vetting process to make sure that it's malware resistant. So before any application is published in the store, we make sure that there is no backdoor approaches into accessing your information. So it is a secure platform.
I was going to ask about the Windows Store and the apps. There maybe aren't as many Windows apps as there are on other platforms' stores.
Correct.
But maybe it's because these apps are sort of so carefully vetted, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, and to be open and honest, is that yes, we don't have the millions of applications like our other platforms, but what we do have is quality applications. We want to make sure that the quality is built into the application stack itself. And over and above that, a lot of schools have already invested in terms of their application stack. So that means that they've procured applications. They don't want to reinvest in terms of buying that application again. And Windows allows you to install native applications via a CD or USB stick. I'll still have that old way of installing applications and still using it.
Oh, okay. So if a school's already got CDs for maths games or you know, reading programs that lots of schools have, they'd still be able to use those on a Windows device.
Correct.
Well, that's worth knowing.
Yeah.
And also in the Windows Play Store, lots of the big names, you know, the Khan Academies and the TED Talks, they're still there in the Windows Store because those are quality educational apps that have been vetted.
Yes.
There's also a link, the Apps for EDU website is well worth teachers or students investigating because that gives links to Windows apps that have been vetted and are available on the Windows Store.
Yes, yes. So what we've done is that there's a long list of applications available in store, but to make it easier for education itself, we've gone through the list and made sure that we selected the quality applications for geography, for biology, and so forth. So the link that's going to be published is definitely something that I would have a look
okay.
at as a parent as well.
Yeah, so maybe there are not thousands out there, but the ones that are there are pre-vetted and quality apps. That's worth knowing. So Renee, before we close, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about the Windows platform is that it's an evolving product. And we appreciate it when you send us feedback on this platform. And one thing always to remember is that you don't want to chop and change between different type of experience for different screen sizes. So what we've done on Windows 10 is that we've been able to bring a platform that scales across screen sizes, from the Internet of Things, which does not have a screen at all, to large screen displays that goes up to 100 inches and having a consistent experience to fit that screen size itself. And the one thing about Windows 10 is that we've been able to bring this platform across the experience, even the Xbox console. So not a lot of people even know that, but Windows 10 actually runs on the Xbox console, and being able to go into the store and download the same applications. To give you an example, I love playing Angry Birds, and if I'm using my phone and I've got to level 23, when I pick up my laptop, I'll be able to pick up from the same point that I left off on. And that's the journey that we've taken on in terms of Windows 10.
Okay, so you've used the example of Angry Birds, yeah. but the same applies to teachers and students who are using Word, Excel, PowerPoint. That experience that they're having on their two-in-one device or a Windows laptop or a desktop computer in the computer lab at school can be the same experience that they'll have on other platform on other devices that they have access to at home. And more likely than not, it's going to be a Windows platform that they're going to be using at tertiary level or in the workplace. So it's getting very familiar with one platform and being able to use it for life.
Yeah, and also for development wise, I mean, there's a lot of interest out there in terms of how to start developing for these platforms. And the one thing is, there's always newer features and functionalities that the people want in terms of this application. So when I'm developing an app, I'm developing once for the Windows store that fits across all of these screen real estate sizes. And when I make changes to the application, I make the changes once. I don't have to make it different changes according to different screen sizes.
So the developers out there, that's something to be aware of and get making more apps.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a great thing for teachers and students to do at school is create your own apps.
Correct.
Renee, thank you so much for joining us today for this virtual academy. It's been great to have this insider view as to how Windows 10 is a great platform for schools and for teachers and students. So thanks for sharing that input with us.
No, thanks for having me.
Now we'll be joined by Peter Delisle, who's a South African Microsoft Innovative Educator expert. And he's at a school that has a bring your own device policy, but lots of the students are using Windows 10 devices, and Peter uses one himself. We're going to chat to Peter to find out some more about Windows 10 and how it's been working at his school. So Peter, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we start talking about how you're using Windows 10 at your school, can you tell us a bit about Hilton College?
Hilton College is a boarding school, all boys boarding school, and so that means it has a whole lot of different challenges and opportunities. My role here is curriculum support, which means I am basically here to help the teachers in their use of technology and in the curricular work and trying to help them to innovate and to use new approaches to technology, but generally in their teaching. And it's been an exciting 17 years that I've been at the school, because in the time that I've been here, so much has changed in the world of IT and in the world of education. So it's been a very interesting ride here. And curiously, I think in a way, after all these years, I pretty much still believe in the same fundamentals of what we're trying to do, which is really to teach kids to think properly, to look at material, to understand it fully, and to come up with something useful to say based on what they've studied and learned and worked with. And so whatever IT tools I've introduced, I've tried to use them in that way so that they're actually contributing to thinking and to academic skills and to learning in general.
So Peter, we've known one another for quite some time, and you've been a Microsoft Innovative Teacher for a number of years, and I've been so excited by your various projects over the years, because although they all use technology in some form or another, the thing that you really are is a brilliant teacher, and the technology just helps you to do a more engaging job of teaching or add some element of excitement to it. But really, your projects have all been about great teaching. That being said, though, you do use a Windows 10 device, and I imagine that it does help in getting kids using technology to boost their education.
Yeah, certainly. Windows, our environment particularly, it just works well. Things connect up easily, because we're a networked environment, we always try and encourage our boys to be saving their work, to organize it properly, to access the materials that we put on the network for them. So all of those basics just work quite easily and well. And so a Windows device is a great tool for doing that. I've been particularly excited with the advent of the two-in-one hybrid kind of machines, because it offers a whole lot of more possibility in terms of what kids can do with their laptops. So it's no longer just a computer that's easy to carry around. It's actually a reading device. It's and becomes more of a thinking device, I think, as a tablet, as opposed to just a laptop on its own. So exciting new possibilities which we're starting to explore now.
So, Peter, Hilton's a bring-your-own-device school, so I imagine you have students with a range of different devices, but that one you were mentioning, a two-in-one device, really sounds like a good choice to me, because then it can be a tablet when the task lends itself to a tablet, but it can also be a laptop, which is great for sort of typing longer assignments.
To give an example, our top student from last year, he was using, lucky enough to have a Surface tablet, and he did all his work on it. And so although he firmly believed that writing was important, he used the stylus on his device, and he saved everything into OneNote. And, he was our top student and was one of the top IEB students, so I can't say it's all because of Windows and OneNote, but certainly it helped him a lot in what he was doing. And so based on his example, I'm trying to start with the younger boys and getting them thinking in that way of using their computers as tablets and as the thing that is most ready to hand when they need to make notes or to capture information from whatever. So I think if the idea of a two-in-one machine is it becomes something that can really live with you, that can do a whole lot more than a phone or something like that, but because it's got the power of a laptop, but at the same time it's got the convenience and the flexibility of something that's just with you all the time.
Yeah, I really love OneNote, and I think it's a fantastic tool, for children to master. And they can use it from when they're young to sort of do their study notes, make their mind maps, and as they get older, can use it more and more, and it's a tool that they'll be using for life. And obviously it is something that you can access through other platforms by getting the OneNote app, but the experience really is great on a Windows device, particularly if you have a stylus and can, think while you ink.
Yeah, and what I particularly like about it from a sort of cognitive point of view is that it allows you to move from chaos, which is what the world is, the world of information as we approach it is chaos, but it allows us to capture it and structure it in a way that makes sense to us in our way, and using things like color and tabs and all of that, it really just makes it so much more easy to deal with information. And I think the information in the world is very stressful for kids, because we as adults with education that we actually have a basis on which to start judging things and organizing things, and that youngsters don't have that, and I think a tool like OneNote allows them to start doing that, and with guidance from teachers, that's what they can start to do. They can start to make sense of their world. So, I think in our world today, we're not about delivering content to kids anymore. We're helping them deal with all the stuff that's there and make sense of it and use it in useful ways. And I think a tool like OneNote, and with the classroom tools added in, it gives the teacher a way to mediate without sort of getting too much in the way.
Yeah, there definitely are all of those possibilities. And as you were mentioning earlier, in the 17 years you've been at Hilton College, you've seen lots of these technologies evolve and lots of possibilities opening up to teachers. Are there any ways that your colleagues are using this technology that you've seen that you're excited by?
son has been battling with learning problems, and so he started off with a sort of personal motivation for that, but he's since now moved into using it in class and using the class notebooks and so on. So it's been a bit of a journey together, and I just admire his approach of saying, I've seen the possibilities in this thing, and I know it's going to be a bit difficult initially getting used to a different way of working, but I'm going to go for it and I'm going to keep working at it. And that's what he's done. And so now all his science lessons are in OneNote. I think 99% of his grade 10, 11, 12 students are all on OneNote properly. You know, we've got all the Microsoft accounts properly set up and so on. So it's been a journey, but I think it's starting to be rewarding for him now. And so I think in terms of working with colleagues, it's just little bit by little bit, you know, and it is difficult to take those steps. And like I say, I admire his courage and his determination for taking that step, because it's much easier just to say, I'll just carry on doing it the way I know it's always worked. But he's taken that step, so I really salute him for that.
And with all of this technology, what might seem quite complicated or daunting at first, if you just hang in there and just try use it, you know, a bit more every day, you know, eventually it'll be second nature and very easy to do even some of the more advanced sort of things that looked so complicated in the beginning.
It's not actually difficult. It's just different ways of thinking and getting used to that. And I think it's sort of cumulative as well, you know. So once you've conquered one thing, then the next thing will be easier because, you know, I suppose for example across the Microsoft suite, all the programs behave in similar ways. And so once you get used to the way one thinks, then you can start to apply that in another. So it is an investment that's worth making, I think.
It really is, and it's also great to hear that your colleagues are sort of lifelong learners themselves and are modeling that for your students. And also that there's not such a focus on the technology and the sort of whiz-bang nature of it, but rather to keep the real thinking and the real educational goals at the heart of what you do.
Yeah, and I think it also underlines another important principle of education, and which we tend to not apply to professional development, and that is that you only learn stuff when it's actually worth learning it, if you know what I mean. So just having me get up and give a long talk about how marvelous OneNote is wouldn't have actually done anything for my friend until he actually was prepared to try it himself. And to do it, like, okay, he's got his grade 10s coming tomorrow and he needs to sort this thing out now, let's do it. And then it makes sense. It actually becomes a real thing. Another colleague had to do a presentation. She's an examiner. She had to present to her colleagues from many different schools, and she said, okay, I want to learn sway. And so she went from zero to hero, but she had to, because she had all these people coming there to watch her presentation. And so if she hadn't got it together, it would have been a disaster. Whereas if she just thought, okay, I'll just play with this and see, it wouldn't have actually mattered, so she wouldn't have been as committed to doing the learning. So we as educators need to learn in that way, and we need to make our learning experiences for the kids in our classes like that also.
I think that applies to teachers and students. If there's really some value in learning the new skill, you'll make the efforts to learn it. And through that process of maybe struggling a bit, you'll get better and better when you are learning that skill for a genuine purpose. Peter, thank you so much for joining our webinar today and for sharing some of your insights into education and for telling us how you and the teachers and students at Hilton College have been using Windows 10. It was great to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining this webinar. We'll look out for you at the next one. Goodbye.
Goodbye.